In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let's pray, O God, that instruct the hearts of your faithful by light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit, may be truly wise, never rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
All God's angels and saints.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, the conference this afternoon is directed to the most important moment of the exercises, and it's how to make a general confession. Okay? How to make a general confession of your whole life. So we're going to be giving you a lot of good information on how to make it. First of all, believe in God's mercy. I really trust, limitless trust in God's mercy. Our God is a God of love, kindness, compassion, mercy, slow to anger, rich in kindness. This is the God that all of us should get to know. And see this as an extraordinary blessing that you'll be able to make the best confession in your life. And from it, many graces will flow. So what I'd like to do is just present to you the steps to make a good confession, the classical catechetical steps. And maybe some of you already know these, but it's good to refresh your memory and try to really do these steps well. Okay? The traditional steps to make a good confession are five. Okay? And they are examination of conscience, you have to examine your conscience well. It's number one. Second step is contrition. Or we can call that sorrow. Sorrow for sin. Third step is firm purpose of amendment. Fourth step is to confess your sins to the priest. Confess my sins to the priest, that's the fourth step. And the fifth step is to carry out the penance. Well, there's the five steps to make a good confession. Worthy of memorizing these steps. Try to memorize them. Okay? Examination of conscience. Contrition or sorrow. Firm purpose of amendment. And I confess my sins to the priest. After I finish confessing my sins to the priest, then I carry out the penance that the priest has given to us. That done, you make a good confession. You receive absolution, you receive God's mercy, and basically you start a new life. I think there's very good timing because you're going to be making your confession, your jhana confession, this weekend, next weekend rather. And what a great way to prepare for Christmas. A great way to prepare for Christmas, what a great way to prepare for New Year's. So this is really a very opportune time to be able to make this, to receive this sacrament. In the history of these exercises we've given for more than 10 years, often people will come to me and say that this was really what changed their lives. Having made this general confession. General confession means a confession of your whole life, where you basically get everything out. One comment I'd like to make, and then I'll go through these at a relatively quick pace, is we have a lot of crises in the modern world. But one crisis is that in the sacrament of matrimony. Now, how many couples before they get married really prepare themselves to make a really good confession? Very few. Most are thinking more about the social aspect, about the but the limousine, the dress, the rice, the carrot cake. Relatives are coming in from Manila, okay, or Guadalajara, okay. So they're thinking about that. And the state of affairs is such that very few couples practice self-control. In other words, premarital relations are very common. Now, what would happen if a couple gets married in the church, but they had been practicing premarital sex and they hadn't gone to confession? So on that day of their wedding, they're actually committing a double sacrilege. Sacrilege means they're receiving two sacraments unworthily. Then, as soon as they start their marriage, basically they're in crisis. Fighting, they're not getting along well together. They have a couple of kids. Eventually they separate. And one of the reason behind that is that they never got married, they never had the sacramental grace. Even though they went through the rite, even though they went through the ceremony, the sacramental grace was never given because they were in the state of mortal sin. And consequently, they eventually separate, divorce, and their children pay the consequences. I honestly think that that's one of the primary reasons why there are so many divorces among Catholics, is that the sacrament of grace that you get from marriage, they never received it. To be able to receive the sacrament of grace, you have to be in the state of grace. That's classical catechesis. No, you don't receive a sacrament. If you commit a mortal sin, you don't go up to communion, you first go to confession, right? Most of us know that. I hope you don't. Okay? So I'm throwing that out for those who maybe are married, that take that into account. So this could be the best confession in your life, which will really come into terms with God's mercy, but also our misery, our sinfulness. Okay, a word on each of these. Examination of conscience. Okay, the best way to make an examination of conscience is to go through the Ten Commandments. Ten Commandments. And we give you a little booklet, been using for many years. It's not perfect, but it's probably the best thing out there. I think I've written one better, but it hasn't been approved by the Archdiocese yet. But mine is much more extensive, but it doesn't have the imprimatur yet. But maybe one day it will. Okay? I worked many hours on doing one much more elaborate than this, but it has to be, you know, has to have the stamp of approval. I think once that's published, it'll do a lot of good, but has to overcome some obstacles. Yeah. But this is pretty good. Which you read through the Ten Commandments, and then you're going to be writing down your sins. Given that the number of people going to confess are probably going to be about 100, this is one group of four, we ask you to confess your mortal sins. But you're going to be utilizing this as your guide. Okay. Take it, read through it, write down. Okay, so you have to write down your sins to be able to make this kind of confession. You're not going to just be coming in there in thin air, pulling your sins out of your hat, but rather you're going to write them down. Okay, is that clear? Mm-hmm. Having meditated on the capital sins, you already know the tendencies within you. Capital sins lead to actual sins. Actual sins can lead to mortal sins. And mortal sin can lead to a habit of mortal sin. We want to be breaking through our sins and experiencing real liberty, the freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. The second step is contrition or sorrow. And this can be of two kinds. It can be imperfect, or what we call attrition, or it can be perfect, which would be contrition of love. In a nutshell, what this is imperfect is, I'm sorry for my sins, my mortal sins, because if I don't repent of them, I could lose my soul for all eternity. The motivation is the gift of the Holy Spirit called fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's enough to make a good confession. But I think we want to go beyond that. That's enough. But we want to go beyond it. And that's why we have the second dimension of contrition is contrition of love. I do not want to sin because I love God. I want to love God with all my heart, mind, soul, strength, my whole being. And I don't want to do anything whatsoever to offend God, to hurt God that loves me so much. So the motivation is different. And when you make a confession, you have to beg for the grace. As Ignatius says, you have to beg for the grace to be able to have both imperfect, I'm sorry because I could lose my soul, fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but to go beyond that. I don't want to sin because God loves me so much and I want to love Him in return. God loves me so much, but I want to love Him in return. I want to love Him with my whole being. That should be the aim of this confession and the aim of our whole life, to love God totally, selflessly. We don't want to do anything to hurt our relationship with God. Okay. Third is firm purpose of amendment. Two and three are related. And that means that if I'm truly sorry for my sins, then I'm going to try to do what? Avoid any person, place, thing, circumstance that could be a cause by which I'm led into sin. So we have to kind of rewind the film of our lives and see, was there a person, was there a place, was there a thing, was there a circumstance that led me to fall into this sin? A very common sin today, and it's very much related to the rules for discernment, is that of falling into the sin of pornography. And we have to admit very honestly that viewing pornography is wrong. Okay? We all know it. In our inner recess of our conscience, it says that it's wrong. But what is a catalyst that leads us to that? Well, okay, Bill fell into watching pornography. Before watching it, he was in the state of desolation. You know what desolation is by now, right? A lack of faith, lack of hope, lack of love. You feel sad, you feel depressed, you feel discouraged. No one really cares too much about me. My life is going nowhere. I don't have any future. There's darkness. Okay, as a result of that, having recourse to something that we know is wrong. Therefore, the next time he finds himself in that situation, firm purpose of amendment means, I know that that's my kryptonite. Instead of turning to that, I will go into my room and I'll pray a rosary. Then I will go in and talk with a friend. I will go out and I will take a walk. I will read a book that captivates my intellect. See what I'm saying? Very important number three. I think that most Catholics are weakest in number three. Myself as a confessor for many years, I think that's where we're weakest, is that we do not hone in on seeing what was the catalyst, what led me into committing that sin. He who plays with fire is going to get burnt. We should not be playing with fire because we're going to get burnt. So it's important rewinding the film of your life, seeing your sin, but what came before that sin? What was the state of soul? Often it's desolation. Ignatius says, you remember we said in desolation we pray, we do our meditation, examination, constantly a little bit of penance to overcome it, not give in to it. So number two and number three are really related. They're interconnected. Okay, if you're sorry for your sin, that means you're going to take the step to avoid what led to the sin, right? I think that's kind of common sense. But maybe you've never seen the connection. Two and three are they're almost the same packet. Okay, now confess. Number four is this, okay? You have done your preparation. You've read through the examination conscience booklet. You have written down your sins in your notebook. You've arrived at the confessional. We're going to be giving you a list in which you're going to be writing down your name, and we're going to be giving you a slot of time in which the priest will be available to hear your confession. Okay, so once you've arrived at the confessional, this is highly recommended that, for example, in the life of St. Faustina Kowalska, if you read through the diary, she's constantly having recourse to the confessional. St. Faustina. On one occasion, she came out of the confessional and she didn't feel at peace. And she asked the Lord, "Lord, why am I not at peace after this confession?" And Jesus said to her that you didn't pray for the priest before he went into the confessional. So that's important. It's important. You say a prayer for the priest, say Hail Mary, pray to his guardian angel, say a prayer of the Holy Spirit, so that when you go to confession to this priest, you'll really connect. There'll be understanding. You'll make a good confession. Okay, that's a good point. So when you confess to the priest represents Christ. So it's not so much the priest that forgives you, but it's Christ that forgives you. It's Christ that forgives you. The priest is the instrument, but Christ is the one that forgives. That you have to believe. That's called faith. And even though we're not worthy to be priests because we're sinners, God calls us anyway. And we have what is called an ontological change on the day of our ordination. It's called Holy Orders. Holy Orders gives us the grace in the name of the Church, the name of Christ, to forgive sins. Okay, when you confess, St. Faustina says there should be three qualities. And they are transparency, you got to be clear, transparency. Second will be humility, be humble. Don't try to justify it or push your sin on your husband or your mother-in-law, okay? You know, I really fight with my husband, but if you knew him. That's a lack of humility. Because you're trying to rationalize it. You're trying to justify it. You got to be clear, you got to be humble. And the third is that of obedience. Transparency. Humility. And obedience. When you confess your sins, you want to confess your sins and not go off on tangents. Some of you remember that years ago, Dragnet with Joe Friday. Remember him? He would say, "Just the facts, ma'am." "Just the facts, ma'am." I would say, "Just the sins, ma'am." And that's called cutting to the quick and being transparent, being humble, and being obedient. So if the priest tells you to do something, don't fight with the priest, okay? Grace gives you, okay, 5 Hail Marys, Father, how about 2.5?
Has anyone ever said
that? You have to obey, okay? Obey. Okay, now, also confessing sins, and this I'm somewhat of a stickler, is when you confess your sins, you have to mention the number of mortal sins. Most people have never heard this before, but this is canon law as well as the Catechism of the Catholic Church. You have to tell the number of mortal sins. So two fiancés, they're about to get married. Okay, well, they fell. And the guy says to the priest, Father, I had premarital sex. Okay. If he just said, I had premarital sex, and it did more than one, that's an incomplete confession. I've had premarital sex every week for the past 5 years. Okay, that's about 300 times. There's a big difference, right? Mm-hmm. Now, maybe there are people here that have never heard that before. You just go to confession, you say, I've done this, but you have not specified the number and species of the sin. Species means this. In the 6th and 9th commandment, you can't simply say, you know, I sinned against the 6th or 9th commandment. What was it? Was it masturbation or fornication or adultery or double adultery or homosexuality or incest or pornography, masturbation, both of them together? You got to specify that. Otherwise, the confession is not complete. In other words, this one of the primary elements of this course is to teach us how to make good confessions. Amen?
Amen.
Most people don't know how to do it. Most people do not. Because of a lack of a good catechesis, no? Over the past 50 years, catechism as a whole has been dismal. It's been very weak as a whole. We've gone from learning the truth to mere feelings. You have to feel good, right? Yummy, yummy, got love in my tummy. Remember that song? Okay, you got to feel good with yourself, okay? And obviate the truth. Therefore, these steps are great. I mean, I learned these with the Dominican nuns in New York, I think in 1964. I've never forgotten them. No? It's a good idea to have these memorized. No? You got some parents here. Teach your children these steps. They should know them. So, when you're confessing, you have to specify the number of mortal sins and what type with respect to the 6th or 9th commandment. If not, an incomplete confession. Father, I miss Mass on Sunday. Okay. If I don't say how many times, and it's more than one, incomplete confession. Incomplete. Well, I missed Mass the past 2 years. Well, that's more than 100 times. Huh? Therefore, there's an art to make the art of making good communions, but there's an art of making good confessions. Okay, now this is not a general confession, but I'll just give you a model of making a good confession that's not general. You've done your preparation, you enter in, you close the door, you start, not the priest, you should start, not the priest, you start. Especially if you're hiding behind the screen, okay? And you start in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. My last confession was 2 weeks ago. These are my sins. I've lied to my husband. I'm a gossip. I looked at 3 things on the internet that were dishonest. I have hatred in my heart toward one member of my family, and I'm trying to work on that. These are the sins that I'm aware of, Father. I beg for pardon and absolution. That was done in about 38 seconds, but that was excellent. It was done in 38 seconds, no? It probably took a good half hour, maybe took an hour to prepare that. But that person has done that. That person knows how to confess, which is rarísimo, as they say in Spanish. I'm not going to say impossible. It's very rare. But that was an A-plus confession. And the person just mentioned the sins and also said, okay, I have a hatred for this person, but I'm here, I'm trying to overcome it. Very good. As long as you're trying to overcome it, good enough. That would be a model of a shorter confession. Now your general confession is going to take longer. But we want you to try to get the general confession done within 10 minutes, okay? If you're well prepared, that can be done. Okay, now, so you confess your sins to the priest. And don't hide any sin, okay? Because even though you may hide the sin from the priest, you can't hide anything from God. God knows everything. God knows and sees everything. Okay, so you say you're afterward, act of contrition, the priest gives you absolution. Okay, that's the fourth step. And the fifth step is the priest gives you a penance. Now you have to carry out the penance. The penance may not correspond to your sin. The priest could give you a penance that's very small and you deserve one that's bigger. I was trained in Rome by my formator. Whenever the priest gave me a penance, I would always do double the penance. I would do double. And to this day, the priest gives me a penance, I try to do twice of what he asked me to do, showing goodwill on my part. So once that's done, you've carried out the penance, then you are forgiven. And you will experience within your heart, your mind, your soul, the peace of God's wonderful mercy. So beg the Blessed Virgin Mary to help you. Right now I'm going to be marrying five couples right now in the Mass, so I'm going to ask Eric to finish the talk for me. I've given the first part, and he'll finish the second part. And I'll be praying for you in this Mass, especially you really prepare yourself to make the best confession in your life. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you, and have a good day. Hold on.